Does PRN inspire you? Does PRN make you want to learn more? Does PRN help you to see inside yourself, to be yourself, to grow, and to do? The truth is, we all need each other to be, to grow, and to do. So, we're asking that you check out the PRN.fm.
Yes, that's Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers with a tune appropriately titled Crisis. Blakey's on drums, Jimmy Merritt is on bass, Cedar Walton is on piano, Wayne Shorter on tenor sax, Curtis Fuller on trombone, and Freddie Hubbard on trumpet. This is the 2005 version, remastered for Mosaic. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And guess what we're talking about today? I dare you to guess. Of course, we're talking about that debacle that we witnessed last night. Well, your president, who is just off of a tour in India, has basically decided that, he said in fact, that all this hubbub over the coronavirus is, you know, not applicable here because we got everything under control. Everything is under control. The only nation in the world that has everything under control. Somebody must have bashed him in the head for making such a stupid comment. So today he kind of eased off of that and said that, well, of course, we're doing the best we can. But even so, healthcare experts, especially those familiar with how these rampant diseases work, are cautioning us, the entire nation, to be vigilant and to prepare. Even if you're vigilant, you must prepare for an outbreak, because it's not a matter of if it will happen, it's really a matter of time before it happens. But they believe strongly, based on how the disease has spread throughout the world so far, that we won't be immune to it. So I don't know what the specifics are for preparing for this particular virus, because of its nature. People are still studying it, trying to figure out what's the best way to prepare for it. So as soon as we hear or get specific instructions, I would gladly share them with you, because as you know or have heard through the news, it's already taken way too great a toll all over the world where it manifested itself so far. So look forward for that. But in the meantime, follow some very normal, sensible protocols. You know, try to avoid crowds of people packed together, like in the subway. Try to keep your hands constantly washed. Try to fortify your immune system so that you have something to work with, that you're ahead of this thing in your own way. But really, we are waiting for specific instructions. And I'm sure Gary is going to be covering some of that. He has already. But it is important that we not go berserk. We just have to follow instructions. We are not experts in this area, and we shouldn't pretend to be, and we shouldn't convert our casual opinions into scientific evidence of what to do, because we don't know. We just don't know. So I think we should just do that and hope for the best and be very active about and conscious about how we go through life. How do we deal with life in our everyday dealings so that we are conscious that there is this deadly disease looming, and we don't know when or if it will strike, but we must try the best we can to be prepared. All right. So let's talk about that debacle yesterday. What was that? This is the 10th so-called, well, I call it a Q&A session. They call it a debate. And it is pitiful. It was just pitiful. I cannot believe that this is what we present to ourselves and to the world as the highest level of functioning and thinking in this country. Disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful. There's no other word for it. You know, it was, of course, you know, held in South Carolina. But it was hard to watch, and for those who had to just listen, it was probably even harder. This intra-party slugfest. It seems like they enjoy the idea of behaving really badly in public. It seriously damaged the candidate's political viability, in my opinion. Their party's brand, if it ever did hold on to a brand, and even spectators' expectations. There's no easy way to bounce back, but there should be ample evidence by now that party officials understand they have a serious matter on their hands, and being on the cusp of Super Tuesday and political activities related to the 2020 presidential election, that they are dealing with it. But I don't see it. If they're dealing with it, it's behind closed doors. But this is not the time to go behind closed doors. This is a time to come out and speak to the situation. It was ugly. It was no different from, you know, a gang fight. Except people had suits on and they were dressed a little bit professionally. But this is disgraceful. And I don't know whether they're thinking about it or not, but I thought they gave voters impetus to change their mind. For me, as you know, I've talked about my own approach, my own views on voting and signing up with a party. And based on last night, you could see the logic of it all. Do I want to be associated with a party like that? Where the main objective is to be nasty and to, you know, just tear your opponent to shreds. It's as if they don't remember, or they don't care to remember, that the enemy is a guy named Trump. They continue to bark and fight and snarl and carry on so unprofessionally. I don't want these people as my leaders. I don't want to be associated with people who at their age, there are no, well, except for Buttigieg, who is like the choir boy, posing as a choir boy, but all just the same, as caustic as you can get for no reason. You're running for president. Everybody knows that. That's great. Now let's hear what you have to say about things that you think need to be implemented, that you support, that you will follow through on. And if you're going to ask a question, please let it be intelligent, even from an adversary, and designed to get an answer that people are longing to hear. This, they confirmed Donald Trump's re-election last night. They confirmed it. That they will do everything possible if they continue this way, and I don't understand why anybody would want to continue this way. They're basically giving him re-election. They're tearing each other up and down. And they still aren't able to put us closer to what their game plan is. This tells you that the entire party is in a free fall. There's nobody in charge. There's nobody there to read the riot act. And you really shouldn't have to read the riot act to people who are in their 70s, for crying out loud. And should know how to behave. They just said, okay, let's have a public spectacle like the Romans used to do. Let's just kill for killing's sake, to entertain the masses. Well, the masses don't want to see that. The masses don't want that. The masses want information and explanations. They want to appreciate what the party as a party is about. They want to appreciate what the agents of this party, the people who are running, what they're about. But I'm disgusted with it. And frankly, I decided I can't watch any more of this. I can't abide this kind of bloodlust as entertainment rather than serious discussions of the day. How dare the people running and the party itself. How dare it present this to the public as representing the core beliefs of the party at this time? You're disgusting. I want nothing to do with you. I want nothing to do with a party that behaves like this and think it's okay. Not me. They caused me to opt out all those years ago. They caused it. I said, you know, maybe I'm a little too harsh. Maybe I should just kind of stick around and see really what they're trying to do. What are they offering? What do they want to do with my support? Do they qualify for my support? No, you don't. You qualify for several years of intensive psychological counseling is what you qualify for. Suddenly the leadership is kind of missing in action. No, this is when you should stand up. These are your people. Nobody's making a statement saying, you know, that behavior was not at all representative of this party. And I insist that we change course. Well, you don't have to change course. It will be changed for you. We're literally on the cusp of the 2020 elections, and you still can't get the basics together as to how to present yourself, how to present your party, how to present your ideas. You still haven't been able to master that. Who needs you? You need to get out of sight. You need to leave us alone. Imagine having to take people in their 70s to counsel them as to how to behave in public. Especially when you are purporting to have a public, quote, debate, unquote. You're nuts. You're crazy. And that's the best you can offer. And you have every expectation that if people really knew what they were doing, they will just support you. Oh, take a flying leap. I don't behave like that. And I don't have anybody who behaves like that within my orbit. Because in the end, it is so reprehensible. And then they do this, and then they say nothing. There's no apologies, there's no... But even if they were to apologize, would I care? You don't have the basic judgment about how you ought to conduct yourself, both as an individual running for office and as a representative of the party. People have to tell you at your age how to behave. And it should be okay with me. The more blood you draw, oh, the more entertaining it is. Why don't you hold the next so-called debate in a coliseum? Add some tigers and lions and some chariots and give them swords to cut each other up. For real, do that. These people are insane. And then you have a whole bunch of others who supposedly are, quote, covering the event. And you go, well, what world are they living in? Because I saw a whole different thing than what they are purporting to report as a professional event. They should have gotten up and left the stadium or left the auditorium. That is not what you're paying for. That's not what you're paying to see. You came to cover a debate. If they're holding a massacre, well, that's not what you want to cover, is it? Let them hold their massacre themselves. You should absent yourself from conduct like that. Just covering it is licensing that kind of behavior. Speaking of which, today Joe Biden received the endorsement of Representative James Clyburn, the oldest, not the oldest, the highest elected official in Congress. James Clyburn also is a South Carolinian, so on two counts, his endorsement mattered. So we'll see how things go from here, but I wanted to know how you interpreted that disgusting. I'm not trying to form your opinion, but I wanted to know what you individually, what you got out of that last night, and what do you see for yourself going forward, as they like to say these days? What do you see yourself with respect to this party? Is it our job to discipline a party? And if it comes to that, and I would argue yesterday being a very good case for it, if it comes to the people to discipline a party, how should that discipline be meted out? 888-874-4888. Or am I just, you know, missing the point? It's the election is also part novelty, part entertainment, part outrageousness, and we shouldn't get too sidelined by that. We should instead see what, in terms of consequence, what do they have to offer? All right, Gwen from New York, you're starting us off today.
Okay, what did I get from it? I got gas, okay? That's what I got. It was horrible. I thought that, first of all, I noticed something really strange, and that was that, you know, everyone has a group of people that come and they kind of pull for them. So when, you know, the candidate speaks, the people in the audience will clap for them. And, you know, I heard the Bernie supporters in the last debate pretty clearly. And at this debate, every time Bernie said something, there was no clapping. And it was like, now, this is subliminal. I mean, allowing people to come in and cheer for people is kind of subliminal in itself. But it helps to boost the candidate. It helps to boost morale. But every time Bernie said something, there was no applause. And I started wondering, what is going on here? I mean, Bernie probably doesn't know it himself, but he probably thinks people are clapping. Is that it, that he hears clapping, but we don't? But then this morning I heard that in order to get into this shindig, you had to pay between $1,750 and $3,200, which leaves a lot of people out in the cold. I certainly could not afford to go to that. But Bloomberg had the house packed. Of course he had it packed. He could pay for all of the people to pay, well, be paid to support him. So that was one thing that was really upsetting for me. Also, Pete Buttigieg was so unbelievably rude. I mean, what is with this guy? Except for the fact that he worked for the CIA, so I guess he knows a little about mind games, too. So every time Bernie would speak, he would just speak in that monotone voice on top of him. until the sentence was over. So I couldn't hear what either one of them were saying. But he did it every single time. He interrupted every single time. It was only with Bernie, and he would speak on top of him. So you really couldn't hear what Bernie was saying. I couldn't hear what he was saying either. But that was, you know, to me, the hilt of rudeness. It's just not right to not allow somebody to speak and be heard. But it was clear that all guns were fired at him, and he knew the guns were going to be fired at him. But the questions were silly last night. The red baiting was so obvious and so clear. And, you know, is this country so hyper crazy that if somebody, another country does something that is well done, we can't even hear about it? I mean, I just couldn't believe that they continued to, until the end, until they actually interviewed Bernie at the end, they still continued with this crap about Cuba. I mean, Cuba does have a good system. School system. They do have good medical care, and it would be a good model for us. It doesn't mean that we're going to go communist. It just means that maybe we can learn something from someone else who's done it pretty well, especially since they have done it on a shoestring. They really have done everything they've done without the help of the United States getting behind them to give them aid. So I think that that is something to be applauded, and I couldn't believe how the commentators were just pointing this at him. And then at the end, it was also strange that, you know, I keep looking at Joe Biden, who came in last time, what, fourth place? And yes. These losers are the first, fifth, okay. So here is the five-time loser, and he's the very first one at the end of the debate to be interviewed. And they give him a good chunk of time. He's by himself. But the other one that's up there that they have a camera on at the whole time is Pete Buttigieg, literally leaning into the audience to, you know, like a rock star. So they have the camera on him, and then they go over, and Joe's doing the same thing, and then they go and interview Joe for a good long time. Then it's Pete, and then Bernie comes in. But you know what? Most of the people who are watching the debate have already left. They watched a little bit at the end, then they turned it off. So Bernie, you really didn't hear what he had to say. But when they did interview him, it was more of this stuff about, are you communist, and all kinds of things that are simply not relevant to most of the people in the United States. I think Gary Knoll spoke about this today, and I would agree with him. It gave him very little way to get out of the question because of the way it was framed. So it was like, you're either with us or against us. So that was very telling. Then Bloomberg started talking last night about his election in New York, and instead of saying the word election, he almost said the word bought. He got the word bought. So it's so clear what he's doing. I mean, he literally is buying this election. And, you know, he doesn't talk about himself as being elected in New York. He said he was hired by New York. I did not hire that creep, okay? I didn't hire him. I didn't vote for him. But he is so blind to seeing the world as only as a business that he can't even get the words out of his mouth correctly when he's up there speaking. I just thought that it was a total chaotic and ugly scene last night. I thought the way that they were jumping on Bernie and saying things that were so horrible about, you know, if you let him run, for sure he's going to lose because Trump's going to come in. But, you know, after all this happened, and I don't like the ex-mayor of New Jersey. I'm sorry, his name is escaping me at the minute. I can't believe he... Oh, Chris Christie. I should know. My family is the Christies. I always tell my mother, you know, he does look a little like your side. But anyway, Chris Christie was on Stephen Colbert last night. And, you know, I was very surprised to hear what he had to say. He said, you know what? He said, Bernie did great. He said, they came down on him. They called him everything but a red pinko. And he wasn't flapped. He said he just kept going with the things that are on his agenda. And he said, that's why it's going to be a very, very interesting race when it comes down to, or if it comes down to, Bernie and Trump. Because it is true that Bernie kind of just stays on his train, in his lane, no matter what is being said to him. But I don't know how anybody could get over somebody literally speaking in that subliminal voice right on top of you. And the things that the Democratic Party have done are so obvious.
But,
you know,
but I'm sorry. Want to get somebody else on after
sure.
you. So, but you gave us quite a panoramic view of how
yeah,
you reacted.
Yeah, be interested to see what other people had to say about the applause level. If anybody can weigh in on that, I'd like to hear what you think.
All right. Thank you, Gwen, for calling and getting us started today. Jay from New York, you're on the air. What are your thoughts?
Today, did you enjoy the entertainment of that, what we would call a debate, or was it an intellectual, fraudulent talking session, or what else could we refer to it as? Cat and mouse, and who's the cat, and who's going to get the cat, as in regards to Bernie Sanders being the front runner? I didn't understand what did they say in regards to how we're going to move the American public ahead to a better place out of the hands of Donald Trump. I mean, I'm at the point now where I'm pretty sure that we need to start preparing ourselves for another 4 years of Trump, because none of them individuals other than Bernie Sanders could beat him, and they're doing everything in their ability to stop that from happening. I don't know why.
Did you find it alarming? Now, this is the 10th so-called debate that they haven't changed, which means probably nobody's talking to them about how to present themselves and the party, or somebody talked with them, but nobody's listening.
I would say probably some people are talking to them, but that they're not listening. See, that's the biggest problem to me of Bernie Sanders. He doesn't listen, I don't think. I don't think that he understands that he has a movement behind him, and that the greatest thing that he could do to improve upon his movement is to get his messaging in order. His messaging is not in order. Number one, he needs to hire a group of economists to help him formulate how he will be able to implement the things that he's talking about. Number two, he needs to start on a very serious level explaining to the American people what democratic socialism is and how we in this country have big business socialism running amok. You know,
but then
I'm
you
just,
have the
you
question
have
of time. In a scenario like that, you're up against several other people and time is extremely limited. So you can only talk for so long about any particular subject.
Yeah, but you have to be able to, and there's people out here that could help you do this, you have to be able to make the right snippets and the right points and make them concise and quick. You know, if you looked at what Bloomberg was trying to do yesterday, he didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. But what he is doing is he's flooding the airwaves to put forward a narrative that he's trying to create. This is what he's doing to get his message out. Bernie has to figure out a way how to define himself so that people can understand. All of the other candidates, they bring nothing to offer. The most embarrassing of them all to me is Joe Biden and his ability or his wish to pander to people for his so-called past association with Barack Obama. Other than that, he offers nothing. He brings nothing to the table. Here it is. This is a man who just lied and repeated the lie, like Trump does all the time, in regards to getting arrested in South Africa when trying to visit Nelson Mandela after he got out of jail. That's what you call bald sugar honey iced tea. There's no truth to it. And now you have candidates that's going to have to go after him about that. But nobody, if you notice, really talked about the virus that's gonna put the country in a panic, and it's gonna probably be an even worse panic after your boy Trump gets on the air and start lying about it and start telling false truths. That's gonna get his sickle friend backers to just basically act as though this is not something that maybe could become an epidemic in the world. This is what we need to do.
Here's a question. It's the 10th round, the 10th time these people are meeting supposedly to advance an understanding of where individually they are and where the parties supporting them or the parties under whose banners they're running are intending to go. What right now is your thinking about where you're going so far?
Oh, I'm strictly at this point in time going Bernie just based on the things that he's saying and the condition of the country and what needs to be done to address the inequalities and what he's saying. But, you know, also, I'm more in regards dealing with the local issues. But, I mean, if I had to pick a candidate, I would pick Bernie just simply based on the fact that I understand the society is in deep trouble and that the resources of the country is dwindling and that there's going to be a lot of Americans in this country that's going to suffer over the years to come, and you're going to need democratic socialism to just take away a little bit of the pain that's forthcoming. And I know that the other candidates are basically more or less bought and paid for by the establishment. I mean, just look at the argument that's going on right now.
But before you go on, you want to get some other people in, Jay.
All right.
So I have to ask you to allow me to introduce them and their ideas. Thank you for offering yours, though. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air. 888-874-4888 is the number to call.
Hello, Eutrice.
Hello, Ed. What was that?
How are you?
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe they're listening.
No, I mean, what was that last night? What was it?
Oh, listen. I got to beseech you and the people. Let us stop dwelling on this. I wouldn't want to offend nonsense by calling it nonsense. This is it's beyond ludicrous. It's garbage. I mean, you know, full grown people hollering and screaming. It reminded me of a WWE or WWF WrestleMania event with Vince McMahon and Randy Macho Man Savage and Miss Elizabeth and yelling and screaming. Look, bottom line, vote for Bernie. He's about the best of the worst. In the interim, practical application, my observation, as I've said it before and I'll say it again, get hyperlocal. Get involved with being a councilman, councilwoman, get involved with the mayoralty, get involved with city dog catcher, ombudsman, alderman, whatever you can get. Get control of your local politics and put forth the ideas and the values that you want to be manifest in your local world. That's the only way we're going to get anything done. We've got to do this one state, one borough, one hamlet at a time, because these fools are off the page. They have no idea what's going on.
did Donald Trump get a boost last night?
Like I told you, I think I told you a couple of weeks ago, I believe they want him to win. I mean, this nailed it for me. I mean, you couldn't be a logical person thinking that at this point in the primary to allow a display like that and not to have the fix in for the candidate. That shook people who were unsure. That'll make people not vote. That was beyond the disgrace. And that's why I said, you got to get hyper-local. You've got to concentrate on your local politics. You've got to control the laws in your borough, in your state, in your town, if you want to have any type of recompense. Because we're going to get 4 more years of this jerk. We're going to get, I'm sorry to say it, but I say vote for Bernie, cross your fingers, but that was a joke. People I know, that completely turned them off now. Completely turned them off.
That's so sad. And supposedly, you have a very powerful leadership in the party, but look what's going on. And there is there's no answer, there's no information, there's no interview to explain anything. They've all gone and hidden someplace where they cannot be found. Thanks so much, Ed, for your commentary today. Ma'at from New York, you're on the air.
Yes. Good afternoon, beloveds.
Thank you.
I did watch it and was just utter chaos. And let's call out Pete Buttigieg because he was a lot of the manufacturer of it when, not just against Bernie, but when Warren clearly had the floor to speak. I mean, he just continued to speak over her, so he's at the point of desperation, and it just became ridiculous. In terms of the moderators, they could have, I mean, I guess it was for the so-called entertainment value, because the moderators could have held the line in terms of just, you know, just nonsense, not being able to hear anybody. And they also didn't hold the line when it came time to the commercials, because I heard on WNYC that I think it was Bernie also had a commercial that I missed. But Bloomberg, for sure, was able to put up his own commercial during the breaks. So that just made no sense. And it was just
these moderators, in my view, and I've held it since the beginning, they're not necessary. I have no idea why you need to import major media people who come to this process with a tainted point of view. They're not going to be allowed to ask truly independent questions. They're asking questions that have been screened and approved by the people they work for. I don't understand why they're there. They should be out of there completely, having nothing to do with this. These are grown people, supposedly, and you could manage, one person could manage it if you indeed need somebody to maintain flow and order, but you don't need a moderator. You don't. If it's a debate, it either is a debate or it's not. It really is a Q&A, as it turns out, isn't it? Thanks, Mark, for your call today. Yeah. Jay from Georgia, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, yeah. All right. How are you?
Hey, Jay.
Okay. I had heard one person's theory that the Democratic Party is really setting things up for Hillary Clinton to get back in the race through Bloomberg. And
yeah,
this may be the whole thing.
That's what you heard. And we don't want at this stage to go with information that we don't know to be true.
No. I'm not saying somebody, this is someone's opinion.
You know, right, but don't make it yours.
Well, I think it's a valid opinion. First of all, last night was insane, obviously. Elizabeth Warren really made me angry because she wouldn't shut up. She kept talking long time. She got her turn the talk. She wouldn't be quiet. She wouldn't listen to the moderators or anybody. Buttigieg, he was just crazy. I mean, he's really he works for somebody, you know, in CIA or somebody. He's got some kind of connection.
No. You see, we can't do that.
Okay. This is what I believe.
Even if you say you believe, it doesn't excuse the fact that you're spreading rumors that you have no proof of.
That's true. I mean, I've read things to that effect, but, you know, I mean, like you say, you read a lot of things and no proof, but it's just a belief. But the whole thing was just a charade, obviously, and maybe that's what they want, because they maybe setting things up for Trump really to be reelected, because they don't have anybody else really outside of Bernie Sanders, in my opinion, again, to step into place and really do something.
All right. So let's go with that idea that, in your view, there's only Bernie Sanders who can step into the fray right now as a credible candidate. What is your reaction to him?
He could. He's got a road to hoe. That's a rough one too. But I think he's trying to play politics to get there. But if he got in the position as being president by some wide miracle, I don't know how much he really could get accomplished. He'd probably do more than a lot of them, but it's gonna be rough for him. That's the best I can think to say about him. But I think he's the best choice that we can pick out right now.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Jay, from Georgia, for calling in and sharing your thoughts with us today. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Greetings.
Hello.
How you doing, dear?
Okay. How about you?
I'm going okay, yep. Well, I'm finally glad to see people like Jay and Ed from Jamaica who are starting to see that this is all set up for Trump, because me, David from Brooklyn, and Willie have been saying this for the last 3 years, and nobody wants to believe us, so what can we do? Hopefully, little by little, more people catch on to this game that they're playing with us, and we're being played, because obviously this couldn't be really happening in real time like this. This way that people are behaving like this. It's got to be some kind of a setup, and they want Trump to be the patsy and take the blame for everything, and they want him to keep doing that for another 4 years. And then they'll find somebody else to be the patsy after that, I guess. But
you're talking about?
Hello?
Who are the they that you're talking about?
They is the system that is controlling things. You know, you can't blame Trump because he has to do something like that.
Is too vague. They are doing this. They want this to happen. They want to see this result. Who are the they? And how do you know them?
The ones that David from Brooklyn keeps telling us benefit from this kind of a system. The people that are very wealthy, that are corrupt, and that are pretty much evil. I'm not saying all rich people are bad and evil. Most of them are probably good people. But the problem is that the bad ones, are the ones that are in control of this thing. And they have Donald Trump in a corner, and he has to do what he's told to do if he wants to keep playing golf every day and live in mansions. And we're not seeing it because we're distracted by all this made-up story stuff. The Democratic Party and the Republican Party are the same thing. And we know this for 3 years now, and we keep forgetting about it real quick. So we'll have to wait till November comes again, and then everybody might start to finally catch on after they've been fooled twice. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Okay? People like Gwen and Matt, you want to keep trying to make sense of this nonsense, and you're not going to be able to. That's what I'm talking about. Corporations.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your contribution today, E, from Edgewater. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, beloved. And my beloved family. Yatrice, you were saying that you didn't you haven't voted for over 20 years, right?
Yes.
The people who have recognized what's really going on have voted either. I haven't voted either because I understood it. So for you to question the people that don't know, they just don't know. You did a program the last election on burning us. All you have to do is go. It was very clear that he was working with the Democratic Party and the Republicans, because he turned over all his votes to the new voters he had. So they are working together, Eutrice. We know that.
Why can't you accept that? In hindsight, why can't you accept it simply as naivete on his part? And the desire to create a movement that he believed at the time that the Democrats would bring in people into this movement, and so he had to court Hillary Clinton. How about that as a scenario?
Well, the only time they show any interest in particularly people of color's vote is when they're going to be elected. That alone shows.
But this was not
interest.
Specifically people of color. This was Hillary Clinton wanting to add dimension to what she believed was a good thing that she had going to begin with. And it also coincided, perhaps at the time, with a belief on the part of Bernie Sanders that this movement was not at the point of critical mass, so it could be helped by joining forces or seemingly helping the Democratic Party in a kind of win-win situation.
Yes. Yes, of course, because it's one party. It doesn't matter what you say, it's a Republican, it's one party, period. When you look at our conditions as African and black and brown people, it doesn't matter who wins. It doesn't change our condition.
Well, that's a related discussion, but I'm looking at the central issue, which is the nuts and bolts that we have been discussing for some time now, which is how the party situates itself. How do the party's ambassadors situate themselves within our communities? And
They don't. They themselves. You did a program on, because I don't know about what they're doing on television. And you did a program on the impeachment. Not one person of color was there. This is not our business. And that was very, very clear to me. That is something I hadn't thought about, even though I don't watch that kind of stuff. But I'm saying, wow. And we didn't see this. Our concern should be, what are we doing for ourselves and what we should be doing? Not the Democrats or Republicans. That's the game.
All right. So now let's go in the moment that we're in right now. What should we be doing?
Number, I know you're going to be annoyed with me for saying this. Number one, our party should be PRN. We should be promoting it and financing it, and then deciding to run Gary for president. Because if he was there, none of these people could be.
That is way down the road, if at all. workable. I'm asking, in the configuration that we understand to be our configuration that we work it with, what is it that people should be doing?
I can't answer that because I know what we should have been doing. I don't know what we should do within this configuration that you're talking about. Because that's not something that I've given thought. Because I already dismissed it from my mind, period.
Well, that's a sobering thought, that you dismissed it right off the bat. But then again, you know, I came to a similar conclusion so many years ago that voting was a futile effort.
I used to do the same thing too.
I was a very, very conscientious voter, a dedicated voter, and so forth. But then you see that there is no respect at all. It's just like a game. It is a game.
It is. It is, so, and we are the game. It is, and we're. I used to be out there lecturing people and doing everything to let people vote. That's how I took it seriously. And later on, I found out you've been had.
Well, hopefully, the so-called leadership of that party and the members who are running under its banner would behave in a way, or would communicate with the base more honestly and more forthrightly, and let people know what the deal is. This cannot go on. And the people, irrespective of whether the party moves or the people running under the party's banner move in that direction, we now have to come up with an absolute a plan that includes consequences for this kind of betrayal and treatment. We cannot continue to be subjected to it and endure it. Thanks, Willie, for your call today.
Thank you, Matt.
Well, we've come to the end of our program. We've run out of time. And so it's really important that you do exactly as you're doing. Continue to do it and turn the volume up a little bit. Because remember, when all is said and done, our lives are at stake. And our way of life is at stake. And we have people who have reached the point where these things are not important. What's important is what they want to do and what they get to do under the color of democracy. So we have some serious thinking and doing to do. Thanks for listening. Thanks for contributing. And we'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.